You're listening to KRBD Ketchikan. This is Reading the Classics with the Ketchikan Public Library, and today I am continuing on with The Wizard of Oz from last week. I am Oz, the great and terrible. Who are you? And why do you seek me? It was not such an awful voice as she had expected it to be. So she took courage and answered, I am Dorothy, the small and meek. I have come to you for help. The eyes looked at her thoughtfully for a minute. Then said the voice, Where did you get the silver shoes? I got them from the Wicked Witch of the East when my house fell on her and killed her, she replied. Where did you get that mark upon your forehead? Continued the voice. That is where the Good Witch of the North kissed me when she bade me goodbye and sent me to you, said the girl. Again, the eyes looked at her sharply, and they saw she was telling the truth. Then Oz asked, What do you wish me to do? Send me back to Kansas, where my Aunt Em and Uncle Henry are, she answered earnestly. I don't like your country, although it is so beautiful, and I am sure Aunt Em will be dreadfully worried over my being away so long. The eyes winkled three times, and then they turned up to the ceiling and down to the floor and rolled around so queerly that they seemed to see every part of the room. And at last, they looked at Dorothy again. Why should I do this for you? Asked Oz. Because you are strong and I am weak. Because you are a great wizard. And I am only a helpless girl. But you were strong enough to kill the Wicked Witch of the East, said Oz. That just happened, returned Dorothy simply. I could not help it. Well, said the head, I will give you my answer. You have no right to expect me to send you back to Kansas unless you do something for me in return. In this country, everyone must pay for everything he gets. If you wish me to use my magic power to send you home again, you must do something for me first. Help me, and I will help you. What must I do? Asked the girl. Kill the Wicked Witch of the West, answered Oz. But I cannot, exclaimed Dorothy, greatly surprised. You killed the Witch of the East, and you wear the silver shoes, which bear a powerful charm. There is now but one wicked witch left in all this land, and when you can tell me she is dead, I will send you back to Kansas, but not before. The little girl began to weep. She was so disappointed, and the eyes winkled again and looked upon her anxiously, as if the great Oz felt that she could help him if she would. I never killed anything willingly, she sobbed. And even if I wanted to, how could I kill the Wicked Witch? If you, who are the great and terrible, cannot kill her yourself, how do you expect me to do it? I do not know, said the head. But that is my answer. And until the Wicked Witch dies, you will not see your uncle and aunt again. Remember that the witch is wicked, tremendously wicked, and ought to be killed. Now go, and do not ask to see me again until you have done your task. Sorrowfully, Dorothy left the throne room and went back to where the lion and the scarecrow and the Tin Woodman were waiting to hear what Oz had said to her. There is no hope for me, she said sadly. For Oz will not send me home until I have killed the Wicked Witch of the West, and that I can never do. Her friends were sorry, but could do nothing to help her. So she went to her room and lay down on the bed and cried herself to sleep. The next morning, the soldier with the green whiskers came to the Scarecrow and said, "Come with me, for Oz has sent for you." So the Scarecrow followed him and was admitted into the great throne room, where he saw, sitting in the emerald throne, a most lovely lady. She was dressed in green silk gauze and wore upon her flowing green locks a crown of jewels. Growing from her shoulders were wings, gorgeous in color and so light that they fluttered if the slightest breath of air reached them. When the Scarecrow had bowed as prettily as his straw stuffing would let him, before this beautiful creature, she looked upon him sweetly and said, "I am Oz, the great and terrible. Who are you, and why do you seek me?" Now the Scarecrow, who had expected to see the great head Dorothy had told him of, was much astonished. But he answered her bravely, "I am only a scarecrow, stuffed with straw. Therefore, I have no brains, and I come to you praying that you will put brains in my head instead of straw, so that I may become as much a man as any other in your dominions." "Why should I do this for you?" asked the lady. "Because you are wise and powerful, and no one else can help me," answered the Scarecrow. "I never grant favors without some return," said Oz. "But this much I will promise. If you will kill for me the Wicked Witch of the West, I will bestow upon you a great many brains, and such good brains that you will be the wisest man in all the land of Oz." "I thought you asked Dorothy to kill the witch," said Scarecrow in surprise. "So I did. I don't care who kills her, but until she is dead, I will not grant your wish. Now go, and do not seek me again until you have earned the brains you so greatly desire." The Scarecrow went sorrowfully back to his friends and told them what Oz had said, and Dorothy was surprised to find that the great wizard was not a head, as she had seen him, but a lovely lady. "All the same," said the Scarecrow, "she needs a heart as much as the Tin Woodman." On the next morning, the soldier with the green whiskers came to the Tin Woodman and said, "Oz has sent for you. Follow me." So the Tin Woodman followed him and came to the great throne room. He did not know whether he would find Oz a lovely lady or a head, but he hoped it would be the lovely lady, for, he said to himself, "If it is the head, I am sure I shall not be given a heart, since a head has no heart of its own, and therefore cannot feel for me. But if it is a lovely lady, I shall beg hard for a heart, for all ladies are themselves said to be kindly hearted." But when the woodman entered the great throne room, he saw neither the head nor the lady, for Oz had taken the shape of a most terrible beast. It was nearly as big as an elephant, and the green throne room seemed hardly strong enough to hold its weight. The beast had a head like that of a rhinoceros, Only there were 5 eyes in its face. There were 5 long arms growing out of its body. And it also had 5 long, slim legs. Thick, woolly hair covered every part of it. And a more dreadful-looking monster could not be imagined. It was fortunate the Tin Woodman had no heart at that moment, for it would have beat loud and fast from terror. But being only tin, the Woodman was not at all afraid, although he was much disappointed. "I am Oz, the Great and Terrible," spoke the Beast, in a voice that was one great roar. "Who are you, and why do you seek me?" "I am a woodman and made of tin. Therefore, I have no heart and cannot love. I pray you to give me a heart that I may be as other men are."
"Why should I do this?" demanded the Beast.
"Because I ask it, and you alone can grant my request," answered the Woodman.
Oz gave a low growl at this and said gruffly, "If you indeed desire a heart, you must earn it."
"How?" asked the Woodman.
"Help Dorothy kill the Wicked Witch of the West," replied the Beast. "When the witch is dead, come to me, and I will then give you the biggest and kindest and most loving heart in all the land of Oz."
So the Tin Woodman was forced to return sorrowfully to his friends and tell them of the terrible beast he had seen. They all wondered greatly at the many forms the great wizard could take upon himself, and the lion said,
"If he is a beast, when I go to see him, I shall roar my loudest and then so frighten him that he will grant all I ask.
And if he is the lovely lady, I shall pretend to spring upon her and so compel her to do my bidding. And if he is the great head, he will be at my mercy, for I will roll this head all about the room until he promises to give us what we desire. So be of good cheer, my friends, for all will yet be well." The next morning, the soldier with the green whiskers led the lion to the great throne room and bade him enter the presence of Oz. The lion at once passed through the door and, glancing around, saw, to his surprise, that before the throne was a ball of fire, so fierce and glowing, he could scarcely bear to gaze upon it. His first thought was that Oz had by accident caught on fire and was burning up. But when he tried to go nearer, the heat was so intense that it singed his whiskers, and he crept back tremblingly to a spot nearer the door. Then a low, quiet voice came from the ball of fire, and these were the words it spoke. "I am Oz, the Great and Terrible. Who are you, and why do you seek me?" And the lion answered,
"I am a cowardly lion, afraid of everything. I came to you to beg that you give me courage, so that in reality I may become the king of beasts, as men call me."
"Why should I give you courage?" demanded Oz.
"Because of all wizards, you are the greatest and alone have power to grant my request," answered the lion.
The ball of fire burned fiercely for a time, and the voice said, bring me proof that the Wicked Witch is dead. In that moment, I will give you courage. But as long as the witch lives, you must remain a coward." The lion was angry at this speech, but could say nothing in reply. And while he stood silently gazing at the ball of fire, it became so furiously hot that he turned tail and rushed from the room. He was glad to find his friends waiting for him and told them of his terrible interview with the wizard. "What shall we do now?" asked Dorothy sadly. "There's only one thing we can do," returned the lion, "and that is to go to the land of the Winkies, seek out the Wicked Witch, and destroy her."
"But suppose we cannot," said the girl.
"Then I shall never have courage," declared the lion.
"And I shall never have brains," added the scarecrow.
"And I shall never have a heart," spoke the Tin Woodman.
"And I shall never see Aunt Em and Uncle Henry," said Dorothy, beginning to cry.
"Be careful," cried the green girl. "The tears will fall upon your green silk gown and spot it." So Dorothy dried her eyes and said,
"I suppose we must try it, but I am sure I do not want to kill anybody, even to see Aunt Em again."
"I will go with you, but I'm too much of a coward to kill the witch," said the lion.
"I will go too," declared the scarecrow, "but I shall not be of much help to you. I am such a fool."
"I haven't the heart to harm even a witch," remarked the Tin Woodman. "But if you go, I certainly shall go with you." Therefore, it was decided to start upon their journey the next morning, and the woodman sharpened his axe on a green grindstone and had all his joints properly oiled. The scarecrow stuffed himself with fresh straw, and Dorothy put new paint on his eyes that he might see better. The green girl, who was very kind to them, filled Dorothy's basket with good things to eat and fastened a little bell around Toto's neck with a green ribbon. They went to bed quite early and slept soundly until daylight, when they were awakened by the crowing of a green cock that lived in the backyard of the palace and the cackling of a hen that had laid a green egg. Chapter 12. The Search for the Wicked Witch. The soldier, with the green whiskers, led them through the streets of the Emerald City until they reached the room where the guardian of the gates lived. This officer unlocked their spectacles to put them back in his great box, and then he politely opened the gate for our friends.
"Which road leads to the Wicked Witch of the West?" asked Dorothy.
"There is no road," answered the guardian of the gates. "No one ever wishes to go that way."
"How, then, are we to find her?" inquired the girl.
"That will be easy," replied the man, "for when she knows you are in the country of the Winkies, she will find you and make you all her slaves."
"Perhaps not," said the scarecrow, "for we mean to destroy her."
"Oh, that is different," said the guardian of the gates. "No one has ever destroyed her before, so I naturally thought she would make slaves of you, as she has of the rest. But take care, for she is wicked and fierce, and may not allow you to destroy her. Keep to the west, where the sun sets, and you cannot fail to find her."
They thanked him and bade him goodbye, and turned toward the west,
walking over fields of soft grass dotted here and there with daisies and buttercups. Dorothy still wore the pretty silk dress she had put on in the palace, but now, to her surprise, she found it was no longer green, but pure white. The ribbon around Toto's neck had also lost its green color and was as white as Dorothy's dress. The Emerald City was soon left far behind. As they advanced, the ground became rougher and hillier, for there were no farms nor houses in this country of the West, and the ground was untilled. In the afternoon, the sun shone hot in their faces, for there were no trees to offer them shade, so that before night Dorothy and Toto and the lion were tired, and lay down upon the grass and fell asleep, with the woodman and the scarecrow keeping watch. Now the Wicked Witch of the West had but one eye, yet that was as powerful as a telescope, and could see everywhere. So she sat in the door of her castle. She happened to look around and saw Dorothy lying asleep with her friends all around her. They were a long distance off, but the Wicked Witch was angry to find them in her country. So she blew upon a silver whistle that hung around her neck. At once there came running to her from all directions a pack of great wolves. They had long legs and fierce eyes and sharp teeth. "Go to those people," said the witch, "and tear them to pieces." "Are you not going to make them your slaves?" asked the leader of the wolves. "No," she answered. "One is of tin and one of straw. One is a girl and another a lion. None of them is fit to work, so you may tear them into small pieces." "Very well," said the wolf, and he dashed away at full speed, followed by the others. It was lucky the scarecrow and the woodman were wide awake and heard the wolves coming. "This is my fight," said the woodman. "So get behind me, and I will meet them as they come." He seized his axe, which he had made very sharp, and as the leader of the wolves came on, the Tin Woodman swung his arm and chopped the wolf's head from its body, so that it immediately died. As soon as he could raise his axe, another wolf came up, and he also fell under the sharp edge of the Tin Woodman's weapon. There were 40 wolves, and 40 times a wolf was killed, so that at last they all lay dead in a heap before the woodman. Then he put down his axe and sat beside the scarecrow, who said, "It was a good fight, friend." They waited until Dorothy awoke the next morning. The little girl was quite frightened when she saw the great pile of shaggy wolves, but the Tin Woodman told her all. She thanked him for saving them and sat down to breakfast, after which they started again upon their journey. Now this same morning, the Wicked Witch came to the door of her castle and looked out with her one eye that could see afar off. She saw all her wolves lying dead, and the strangers still traveling through her country. This made her angrier than before, and she blew her silver whistle twice. Straightway, a great flock of wild crows came flying towards her, enough to darken the sky. And the Wicked Witch said to King Crow, "Fly at once to the strangers. Peck out their eyes and tear them to pieces." The wild crows flew in one great flock toward Dorothy and her companions. When the little girl saw them coming, she was afraid. But the scarecrow said, "This is my battle, so lie down beside me and you will not be harmed." So they all lay upon the ground except the Scarecrow, and he stood up and stretched out his arms, and when the crows saw him, they were frightened, as these birds always are by scarecrows, and did not dare to come any nearer. But the King Crow said, "It is only a stuffed man. I will peck his eyes out." The King Crow flew at the Scarecrow, who caught it by the head and twisted its neck until it died. And then another crow flew at him, and the Scarecrow twisted its neck also. There were 40 crows, and 40 times the Scarecrow twisted a neck until at last all were lying dead beside him. Then he called to his companions to rise, and again they went upon their journey. When the Wicked Witch looked out again and saw all her crows lying in a heap, she got into a terrible rage and blew 3 times upon her silver whistle. Forthwith, there was heard a great buzzing in the air, and a swarm of black bees came flying towards her. "Go to the strangers and sting them to death," commanded the witch, and the bees turned and flew rapidly until they came to where Dorothy and her friends were walking. But the woodman had seen them coming, and the Scarecrow had decided what to do. "Take out my straw and scatter it all over the little girl and the dog and the lion," he said to the woodman, "and the bees cannot sting them." This the woodman did, and as Dorothy lay close beside the lion and held Toto in her arms, the straw covered them entirely. The bees came and found no one but the woodman to sting, so they flew at him and broke off their stings against the tin, without hurting the woodman at all. And as the bees cannot live when their stings are broken, that was the end of the black bees, and they lay scattered thick about the woodman, like little heaps of fine coal. Then Dorothy and the lion got up, and the girl helped the Tin Woodman put the straw back in the Scarecrow again until he was good as ever. So they started upon their journey once more. And that is where I pause the story. Tune in next week for the next edition of The Wizard of Oz. You're listening to KRBD Ketchikan.